Looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 14, Paul writes, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Our Father, we pray that you'd help us now in this service. Lord, indeed, we have so much to be thankful for, so much to praise you for, so much, Lord, to... Lord, I might even say that without you, there's nothing to be grateful for or thankful for. You are the essence and the wellspring from all which bountiful blessings and good gifts come down. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful to this church and for these families, Lord, seated in front of me. Lord, I don't believe there's a person here or in their car could say you've dealt wrongly with us, or you've cheated us, or you've dealt less than bountifully with us in spite of the hardships and in spite of the things we may be going through. God, you've been so good to us. We praise you for that, and we ask you, Lord, to help us in the Word tonight. Lord, remind our hearts of just what it is we do have to be thankful for tonight. We'll praise you and thank you. I pray again for the pastor, his family, as they travel tomorrow to come home, for you'll watch over them. Lord, I pray for my brother and his wife this evening. I pray, God, your will be done there. Lord, the fact that you know what's going on there and you have control of what's going on there, Lord, gives me great comfort, and Lord, gives me hope, and Lord, an expectation of a good outcome of this thing. Lord, whatever you decide to do will be a good outcome, and I pray you'll just give them grace in this harsh need, in this hard hour. God, I pray that you will flood their souls with grace. Bring back to the things of Jimmy, those things that he's preached all these years to other people. Lord, I pray you'll comfort Carolyn and help them through this hard time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Very simple title to what is going to be a very simple message: Biblical Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving means a whole lot of things to a whole lot of people. For some it is the football, for some it is the food, for some it is the family, and this and that. Some it's just a day off of work. It's a chance to sit around and not have to worry about being called in or go in. But for the believers, many times we lose track and sight of what Thanksgiving is all about. I wonder how many of us sit around and say or think, what does God have to say about this thing of Thanksgiving? We have in our minds what Thanksgiving is, and we practice or we may observe and do what we feel like Thanksgiving is. But I want to say for the child of God, there is always a biblical connotation for every single thing in our life. You have to subscribe to this truth if you're saved, that God is interested in every single facet of your life. Are you telling me that God that would save you from a devil's hell, set your feet on a solid rock, head you toward a place called heaven? Would you tell me that that God's not intimately interested in what goes on in your life, in your thoughts, in your heart? He knows every little bird that falls to the ground. He said the hairs of our head are numbered. He takes an intimate delight and an intimate interest in the things, the affairs, not only of just men, but particularly of his children. Amen. And so it is that it's not just a fourth Thursday of every year that we ought to set aside some thoughts and think about what it is to be thankful for. But for the child of God, it ought to be a lifestyle. It ought to be a part of the essence of who we are. And I think I'll be able to show that to you tonight through the Word of God. He has some decidedly pointed things to say to the believer about his thoughts or his ideas, God that is, about Thanksgiving tonight. And so for just a few minutes this evening, we won't keep you long, but I want to share three things with you that the Bible has to say about this thing of Thanksgiving. Number one, it is a commanded behavior. If you look in the verse that I've chosen to be our text, verse number 18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, I could spend the entire time that allotted to me tonight on that one verse and examining that one verse, breaking it down and in minute detail. What is it that God is saying here through the Apostle Paul? Well, the first thing that jumps out to me, smacks me right between the eyes, that he says, in everything, all-inclusive. I'm as guilty as anybody else intending to give God thanks for the big things. I praise Him that He's not raised that oxygen 2 inches above my nostrils. You think about that. I never have to think about taking a breath. I never have to think about, all right, heart, keep beating, keep going, doing your thing. Blood, you keep flowing. God just makes it so. Little things that God does that we so often look over and fail to thank Him for. This thing of biblical thanksgiving is a commanded behavior. I put that word there, behavior, because that is what I'm trying to get us to see. It's not a holiday, though it is. It's a holiday because man set it aside in 1621, the winter of 1621. He set it aside to recognize. You see, back in those days, men still believed there was a God in heaven, and God still worked in the affairs of men, and He got them through a horrific winter in the winter of 1620 and 1621, where half of the company died. Most of the people that came over on that Mayflower did not live to see 1621. I could give you a history lesson about that, but suffice it to say that God, through the use of the Native Americans that were here, the very Native Americans that the whites would later bring pestilence and disease and wipe out entire tribes, the same Native Americans that would the white Europeans would take their land and push them on little small reservations, the same Native Americans that had nothing to gain from the white man being here and everything to lose, God used them to help them and sustain them. In November of 1621, after a bountiful harvest, occasioned by the natives showing them how to plant corn, giving them seed corn, helping them, and God allowing them to the survivors to live through a good spring, summer, and fall, William Bradford pulled aside those pilgrims and he said, "We're going to give God thanks." Now that's the man's institution of Thanksgiving, and a worthy one it is. Oh, so different than what we celebrate today. Nobody I know is in fear of going hungry. Yes, there are hungry folks in the world, but everybody that I know, everybody in this church, and everybody that I know even casually, none of us are in fear of going hungry. It was no small thing for this group of pilgrims, no small thing for them to make it through. And they thanked God. They set aside a day and thanked God that He brought them through. Didn't have to command them then. Sad to say that our society, and we live in an ungrateful society. You realize that. We have to watch lest the poison and the venom of fleshly, worldly, secular society permeates the church, permeates the Christian heart. I have to be on guard that the attitudes in the world don't become attitudes in my heart. And many times I have to fight that battle. Get on the road, head up the road, and there's nobody behind you for 20 miles, and somebody just feels like they got to pull out in front of you. Well, you stand on the brakes, the old nature, the fleshly, worldly attitudes infuse my mind. I've told my wife I am making a concerted, trying effort not to let that stuff bother me. But that's the kind of world we live in. The Bible characterizes this generation as an unthankful generation. For the believer, it is a commanded behavior. In everything, give thanks. For this, and he doesn't say this is the commandment of God, but he says, for this is the will of God. And I read not long ago, a writer was saying this, the will of God should be taken as the commandment of God. And I fully 1,000% agree with that. If you're saved today, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, the will of God ought to be our commandments. Whatever God wants ought to be our marching orders. It's a commanded behavior. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. The Bible's commands again, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. How's a lost and dying world supposed to know that there's a good, gracious, and giving Father if the children of that same Father don't get out and exhibit that thanksgiving and exhibit that testimony that there's a God in heaven who's good to mankind? He did something none of us could ever do, in that He gave His only begotten Son. If this lost, dying world never received nothing else from God, if the rain ceased to fall, if the sunshine faded away, if the earth was engulfed in another ice age, they still could not point the finger at God and say, God, You give us a short end of the stick. Amen. Psalmist said in Psalm 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. He characterizes our thanksgiving here as an offering. I believe in tithing. I believe in monetary offerings. My wife and I were walking back up the driveway, and we were reminiscing about how good God has been to us, and how we were not exceptionally. She was educated. I did well to get out of high school, and looking back over the course of our life, God has blessed us so much. I believe I'll die believing this. I believe it just like my dad believed it. The reason God blessed him and his wife so much and blessed me and my wife so much is because we honored God with our finances. There's never been a discussion about tithing. There's never been her having to encourage me to do it or me encourage her to do it. From the first, Brother Cameron will be getting married in a few months. From the first Sunday that we live together as man and wife, she writes that check. We don't write it after we pay the power bill, buy the groceries. We write the Lord His check. God has blessed us. There's plenty of Bible for that. And then look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound, the apostle says, to give thanks always to God for you. So much to be thankful for. I thought as I saw Brother Ned come in this evening, I just thank the Lord in my spirit, in my heart. Thank You, Lord, for helping that man. Amen. Such a blessing. Amen. Such a joy. I talked to Miss Passy a couple of days ago, and I marvel at how the Lord preserved her and helped her through that. Yes, she's. I don't know that she'll ever totally get over that, but she, by all human reasonings, should have been dead for months now. God preserved her and helped her. God's a good God. It's a commanded behavior. Be thankful, first of all, in times of tranquility. I believe this shows the true, a true gratitude of the believer, that when things are going well, you can be thankful. The Bible says, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I mean, when the peace of God is ruling, it's tranquility bay in your soul. The end of that verse says, and be ye thankful. I'm sorry if you think that the message is a dwelling on thankfulness, because it is. If you hadn't noticed. Be ye thankful. I want to say, not only in times of tranquility, but in times of turmoil. This shows not only true gratitude, but it shows true grace. It is the rare, and it ought not be, but it is the rare believer who has grown spiritually mature enough that in times of great adversity, they can still say, thank You, Lord, and Your will be done. I've run across people like that, and I still marvel at some people's faith. When their world is falling apart, they still look to God and say, whatever He has for me, I'm willing. Now, what a blessing that is. Paul and Silas in the midnight hour in that Philippian jail could sing praises unto God. The blood streaming off their back, their hands and feet bound fast with chains. No certainty whatsoever of seeing the sun rise the next day. And the Bible says at the midnight hour they sang praises and gave thanks unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not only a commanded behavior. Notice secondly, it's a considered behavior. I want to say when God sees thanksgiving, He takes note of it. He considers it. He dwells upon it, looks upon it, and He evaluates, and He's blessed by our thanksgiving. Do you know it's impossible? I mean, it's entirely possible to be a blessing to God Almighty. Imagine the joy, the profound blessing to us to be able to live in such a fashion as to be a blessing unto Him, the wellspring of all blessings. God takes note of heartfelt thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The strict context of that verse is giving of monies or goods. But I see in that verse, because the word is to the child of God, I see in that verse also you could rightly say that whoever, as he purposes in his heart, give thanksgiving unto God, and God loves somebody who's thankful. It's not a stretch. It's not a twisting of Scripture, because it all runs hand in hand with the heart of the believer, that which they give unto God must necessarily include thanksgiving. Well, God, I hadn't died this year. Thank you. No, it's not what I'm saying. Lord, you preserved my life another day. Thank you for that. I get up in the morning. Sometimes I do fall out of bed, roll out of bed. The days of me springing up and hopping out of bed is long gone. But when my eyes open and I see the light brightening the room and I'm able to turn my body and get out of bed and stand on my two legs, I thank God, because it's not so for everybody. Amen. Think of all the people who cannot get out of bed. And God, at my age, and still He allows me to get up and to go through another day. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Thank you, Lord, for another day. A cheerful giver is a giver of time, talents, thanks, as well as their treasure. This behavior, this considered behavior, first of all, is embraced by he that loves God. I'm going to say this, and thanksgiving cannot flow from somebody who doesn't feel thankful. It's just impossible to conjure up that emotion if you're not truly thankful for something. You can't work it up. You can't appear to be thankful with any convincing actions if indeed you're not thankful. And I believe those that love God, I believe this behavior is embraced. As I said, who that loves God, who that knows God, could not consider and not see and not embrace this behavior of thanking God, from whom all blessings flow. In 1 Chronicles 29, I want to read you a portion of David's prayer. It's the epitome. Look up thanksgiving in the saints, and there ought to be a picture of David saying this prayer. The Bible says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be Thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and on the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom." Does that sound familiar? Does that remind you of somebody in the Garden of Gethsemane, or somebody that's teaching his disciples to pray? "For Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory." There's an acknowledgement amongst the people of God, the true born-again believer, that all good things come and it flows from God. All of it is thine. David said, "Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches, honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Boy, I'd never really examined that prayer like that. And I looked at it and I read it. And boy, it about gets you excited just to read how one mortal man felt about his Maker and how he blessed the name of God. For all that he had ever hoped to be, God was the basis of all of that. I like the way he ended that verse. "Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee." Paul said it with a whole lot less words, but every bit as much import and every bit as much biblical weight when he said in Philippians 1 verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." This considered behavior is embraced by he that loves God. It is eschewed by he that hates God. I told you we lived in an unthankful world. It is not at odds that the world that most hates God in all the history of mankind is also the world that is most thankless unto God. Romans chapter 1 verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful." Now if you read that chapter and those verses right in there, it paints a dark picture. And right in the indictment of all the sin that man is guilty of and the indictment that God brings against humankind is the words, "they were not thankful." It tells me God puts great store in thanksgiving. 2 Timothy 3 verse 2. Again, this same theme Paul takes up from the book of Romans into the book of the first epistle to young Timothy, or rather the second epistle in chapter 3, says, "Men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Now notice this, unthankful. Unthankful. This behavior is embraced. I'm giving you the short version this evening. It's embraced by he that loves God. It's eschewed by he that hates God. But it is embodied by him that is God. If your goal is to be like Christ, then you'll be like him in his thanksgiving. If your desire is to follow the Lord Jesus, then you'll follow him not only concerning salvation, you'll follow him about many other doctrines, and one of these is the doctrine of thanksgiving. Matthew 11, verse 25, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father." I just got two or three verses wrote down here, but Jesus' life and ministry was full of ascribing all that he was doing and all that he hoped to accomplish in this world to the Father up in heaven. All his power. "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." Matthew 26, verse 27, he took the cup. This was at the Passover, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." I would not want to sit down and lift a glass, pull back the wrapper on a McDonald's hamburger even, and pop it into my mouth without thanking God. Thanking God for his goodness. Jesus lifted up his eyes in John chapter 11, verse 41, and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." What about that? What about the thought that God hears us when we cry out to him? If we don't regard iniquity in our heart, I can most readily assure you God takes note and he hears the cries of his people. I want to say lastly tonight, biblical thanksgiving is a commanded behavior, a considered behavior. But I want to say lastly, it is a continuing behavior. God help the person whoever gets to their place in life that they don't feel that God is worth thanking for anymore. That somehow God gave them a raw deal. It mystifies me how people live for God years and years, and a tragedy, a calamity come in their life, and they blame God for it. I'm not saying that you should embrace the tragedy and nonchalantly throw it away and say, oh, well, it's meant to be. I'm saying that everything that happens to the child of God happens for a reason, and God does not bring anything, nor does He allow anything, but what His will is accomplished through that. And so we should be thankful for that. A continuing behavior. As I said, I can't remember the exact day or the president that did it, but they sanctioned the fourth Sunday or fourth Thursday in the month of November as a day commemorating that day so long ago in 1621. They sanctioned the fourth Thursday. Every year, fourth Thursday, it's Thanksgiving. There may come a time where this nation ceased to exist, and there may come a time where the liberal left wing of society, the nut jobs out there that hate to even mention God, hate to even thought the abstract thought of God. They hate anything that can be remotely associated and turned and twisted and 10 miles down the road connected to God. There may come a time where they'll do away with Thanksgiving. The fourth Thursday may cease to exist in this world. It surely shall exist or cease to exist in the world to come. Our Thanksgiving, not so. This continuing behavior is borne out in a man called Daniel. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. The writing that it speaks of here is a decree by Nebuchadnezzar that if anyone prayed to anybody but him, if anybody showed allegiance to another god, if anybody got alone and prayed into their god, it was punishable by throwing him into a den of lions. When he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. He began to wring his hands. He began to call his friends and say, pray for me. He began to consult his horoscope, and he began to wonder just how he's going to make it through. No. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day. I love that redundancy there. He kneeled upon his knees. Kneeled upon his knees. Hallelujah. Three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Let me just encourage us, don't wait till times get bad to start praying. Don't wait till adversity and the nature of life and the tragedies of life overwhelm us to find a time to cry out and pray to God. Daniel had a vibrant and a lively prayer life. And I'm not saying that three times a day you ought to go into your prayer closet. Whatever God would have you to do, I kind of like what Paul said, pray without ceasing, and you can pray in a lot of places. You don't have to sit down and get on your knees and put your hands up there. There's times I've been flying down 85 at 75 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour, and I've been praying. Not for the other people. There's been times I've sat in a deer stand and been praying. There's times I've been in an elevator shaft trying to find a problem and been praying. An attitude of prayer, an attitude of thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, I thank my God always. Always is the connotation here, is that he's a continual thanking unto God. 1 Thessalonians 2, 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren. This continuation of being thankful is in view. It's continued in this life. I had a few things I was going to say about that this evening. For our food, for our fellow brethren, for our fellowship of Christ, for freedom from this flesh, one day from freedom from death. The fact is, we have even now freedom from death. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying the child of God never dies. You may go to sleep. You may lay down this old tabernacle. If the Lord don't tarry His coming, I can assure you we shall. My Father did not die. Other saints of God that I've sat beside, been in the room with, got knowledge of, they didn't die. I know we use that word dying, but the child of God does not die. Freedom from death. I want to say lastly tonight, it's not only continued in this life, it is continued in the life to come. It's hard to read these verses without getting excited. Yes, Thursday, the fourth Thursday of November, will one day cease to exist. I guarantee you that's coming to an end. But the thought and the prayer and the the epitome of thanksgiving. It'll never cease to exist, not in this life, as long as God's people are here, and not in the life to come. Revelation 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give honor and glory and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Can you get that magnificent, wondrous scene where these wondrous beasts that God has created and their sole purpose, night and day, they rest not, the Bible says, but is to extol and magnify the God in heaven and to give him thanks for being who he is. Revelation 7, verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, wast, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee the great power and hast reigned. And I'm saying, church, in conclusion, if we got nothing else to thank God for tonight, if we can't find it in ourselves to thank Him for our houses, cars, thank God for who He is. Thank God that He's still on the throne, that He still reigns supreme, that He still looks down upon us, He still sees us, and He knows what's going on. And one day after a while, He's going to take us to be with Him. Hallelujah. Do we define thanksgiving? Or does our thanksgiving define us? Which is it? God help us for our thanksgiving to let everybody, man, woman, boy and girl that we come in contact with, to know there's something different about us, that we serve such an one as God tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a minute. God may have spoke to some heart. You'd like to come to this altar and do some business. I just want to wait just a moment while we close this service.